Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. My name is Jonathan Tate. I'm the associate pastor at Running for Christ Ministries. And today for Sunday school, we will be going through the book of Ephesians. Well, we will start in the book of Ephesians. We will not go through the whole book at this one time in 30 minutes. I'm not that great of a teacher where I could do that whole book in 30 minutes. It requires way more than that. So let's get started. Let us pray. Lord, Father, we thank you so much for this awesome day. We thank you for the privilege to go through your word, and we thank you for you holding our hand as we walk through this word. Help us to open our minds and our hearts and our spirits to receive the word today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, the book of Ephesians, I just want to give you a brief background. I'm going to read pretty much a summary of why the book came to be. So one of the most prominent of those churches was at Ephesus, where you get the name Ephesians from. It was established in AD 53 on Paul's homeward journey to Jerusalem. But Paul returned a year later, third missionary trip, and stayed there for 3 years, preaching and teaching with great effectiveness. At another time, Paul met with Ephesian elders, and he sent Timothy to serve as their elder. Just a few years later, Paul was sent as a prisoner to Rome. In Rome, he was visited by messengers from various churches, including Tychicus of Ephesus. Paul wrote this letter to the church and sent it with Tychicus, not written to counteract heresy or to confront any specific problem. Ephesians is a letter of encouragement. In it, Paul describes the nature and appearance of the church, and he challenges believers to function as the living body of Christ on earth. And this was written about AD 60 from Rome, where Paul was a prisoner at that time. Amen. I thank the Lord for Paul's encouragement and inspiration to do God's will no matter what. Even sitting in a prison, he thought about sending a letter to the church at Ephesus. And we're going to get into that. So verse 1 of chapter 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So right here it says Paul, who is an apostle of Christ Jesus, and he says by the will of God. That's something that we really need to understand. We need to be focused on what God's will is and knowing our part and expanding his kingdom and operating in his will, not our will. And he addresses to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. So let's keep in mind that this is a letter of encouragement to the church of Ephesus, to the Ephesians. And then it says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What an awesome greeting when you look at it. He's saying, hey, I'm coming and I'm bringing grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm greeting you in that manner. So verse 3 goes on to say, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. When you look at that, he's off rip letting folks know this is who deserves the praise, is God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. he always admired Paul's understanding and awareness of where our good and where our blessings, where our grace and peace reside. It comes from God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he understood that we're blessed in the heavenly realms. So by us being blessed in the heavenly realms, we're blessed here, everywhere we go. So many times people ascribe blessings to finances or material or people. And our blessings come strictly from the Lord, period. And we need to be aware as Paul was aware, so that we understand that we're not walking around or running around in the wrong direction, all distracted and twisted up. You know, we need to understand where our blessings lie, where our grace and our peace come from, and that we have everything that we need, but it's wrapped in the Lord and in His will and not ours. Amen. Verse 4 says, "For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in the sight, in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will." So He chose us. And I remember when I read this, and I thought about how awesome that was, that He chose us to be holy and blameless in His sight before the creation of the world. Now, we know that the world was created before any of us were born, any of us were thought of by our parents. But the Lord thought about you and knew that you were going to be a saint or separated or set aside as one of His holy and blameless children. And He knew that before the creation of the world. That's a phenomenal thing when you really just sit and think about that He thought about you before the foundation of the world. He knew that you would be saved and be one of His own children. How awesome and how wonderful a God that we serve would think about us before He would even create a world for humans to step foot on. He thought about you. You don't need anyone or anything to validate who you are or to justify your existence. God already did so. I don't know how much more you can do for somebody than think about them and set them aside for eternity before you even bring them into physical existence, before you even brought the world into existence for them to step foot on, He thought about you. How special and how unique are you to the Lord? Amen. And it goes on to say in verse 5, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will. So you were adopted. You were brought into His family according to His pleasure and His will before the world was even created, before you were even conceived by your parents. That's an awesome, beautiful thing. And truly, when the song says He has the whole world in His hands, He does. No matter what you think, no matter what's going on, the Lord runs the show. But I really want you to grasp that you were created and adopted and predestined before the foundation of the world, the Lord knew what you would look like, how you would act, what you would do in this life. It's no surprise to him because he has it all planned out. It's about you walking in his will and not your own free will. Amen? So Paul was communicating to the church that, hey, the Lord set you aside for his purpose and his pleasure, his will. You weren't here by accident. So he wanted them to understand that, like, hey, you know, and he does a masterful job of, after the greeting, you know, letting the folks know, hey, I'm trying to encourage you. I'm trying to inspire you based upon who your Father in heaven is and who you are to him. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Verse 6 says, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. So because of Jesus, we can experience grace. And I thank God every day for the Father, for my elder brother, and for my counselor. I do that personally every day because each one of them has played a very significant role in my life, past, present, and future. And I'm thankful for their presence in my world and in my life. You know, to be able to experience unmerited favor, you know, because of what Jesus did for me, because God loves him and he loves me too. And verse 7 goes on to say, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. So because we were redeemed through the blood of Jesus and our sins have been forgiven, and that's all because of the riches of God's grace. I didn't deserve for Jesus to go to the cross in my place. And that's why I'm happy. That's why I can sing praises. That's why I can make adjustments in my life to fit God's will, is strictly because Jesus went to the cross in my place. And I've been redeemed, and my sins, all of them, have been forgiven. You know, and Paul is letting them know, hey, this is why we have the hookup. Not only were we chosen from the beginning, before the beginning of the world, the creation of the world, not only were we predestined, but now we've been redeemed through Jesus, through his blood. And now our sins are forgiven because of the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. The Lord knows everything. He understands everything. People get so twisted up in the guilt of their sins that they forget that God knew. Nothing surprises the Lord about what you say, what you think, or what you do, because he lavished his grace on us with all wisdom and understanding. Period. Because of what Jesus did in your place at the cross. What an awesome God we serve. So Paul is continuing to let folks know, hey, again, remember, keep in mind the theme is encouragement of the church at Ephesus. So he's encouraging these brothers and sisters at this church that, hey, you've been predestined, you've been hooked up, you've been redeemed, you've been forgiven because of God's grace and all of his wisdom and understanding. And then it says, and he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. So he made known the mystery, or something that wasn't known, of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, our brother. So when Jesus said it's finished, and he gave up his life for us on the cross, then the hookup started. Then the redemption was taking place. And we were set aside, remember, before all of this. But the Lord knew in all his wisdom and understanding that you would be set aside. And then, so now, verse 10, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. Because that's going to happen. And I thank, you know, Pastor O for his masterful method of going through the whole book of Revelation under God's inspiration and encouragement and direction, because he explained how things in heaven and on earth are going to be all brought under the rule of Christ. So now Paul is speaking of things to come. So remember, plan was put together before you were even thought of by your parents. And I say by your parents because you've always been thought of by the Lord, even before the creation of the world. And he provided the hookup because he knew man was going to fall. He knew that we were going to need redemption. He knew that we were going to need forgiveness for our sins so that we could fit into his plan, into his will, not yours, not ours, but his will, so that we could serve in our family as God's children. Amen. Verse 11 says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything, in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. Amen. So again, we were predestined. We were chosen according to the plan that works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Because remember, we be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we have to conform to God's plan because our sin natures want to conform to this world. But we're here. We were chosen to set aside, predestined before the creation of the world, to conform with the purpose of his will. So in order that we who were first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. So not that we will be glorified, but that he will be glorified in how we live, how we have our being, what we do, what we say, what we think, and everything. We should be focused on God getting the glory from everything that we say, do, and think. Because, simply because, he chose us before the creation of the world to conform to his plan so that he can get the glory, not us. These are encouraging words, brothers and sisters. These alone should give us the energy and the encouragement to tell somebody about Jesus. Because even the folks who aren't saved now, but who will be saved, were predestined. They were chosen before the creation of the world because the Lord knew in all his wisdom and understanding that they would get saved too, just like he knew for you and me. Amen. Amen. Verse 13 says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. This, you know, I've read these words to read them again and take my time and go through them. It feels great. I really feel encouraged and inspired because of the word, God's word of truth, the gospel of my salvation, the good news that Jesus lived, he died, and he rose to redeem us from our sins. And he paid for all of our sins, past, present, and future, with his own blood. Now, for us, having believed, we were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, God's very presence in us. And then it goes even further, not that it was enough that Jesus died for you and rose from the grave, and we were sealed in him. Then God set up shop in the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, inside of us as his own children to guide us and encourage us and comfort us and counsel us. But then verse 14 says, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So we're hooked up all the way around for eternity, for his glory. I think that's a good place to next week. Honestly, I didn't think that we would get that fast through the book, but I thank the Lord that we are well on our way through Ephesians. And I'm so encouraged and inspired because of the words I've read, because of the promises that have been kept, because I've been predestined. I've been forgiven. I'm saved. I'm sealed in him. And the God's very presence is inside of me to encourage and inspire, to lift me up so that I could be a blessing to others and be a light in this world. Amen. So we will pick up next week at verse 15, Ephesians chapter 1. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word and your will. We thank you for your direction in this lesson. And we pray that you will bless the continued service on this Blog Talk broadcast today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. What a lesson, Jonathan. I like that we are all hooked up all the way around for eternity. We don't really have to do anything because it's already said and done and planned out for us. Because, you know, our plan is not God's plan. He got a better plan. Yep. He in control. Yep.
Always.
Thank you. Yeah. Very, very, very good lesson. We just can't wait to hear more. And you said in the beginning, blessings come from the Lord. They come from the Lord. So we could give, you know, the blessings that we get, we could give freely because they come from the Lord, and we don't have to be stingy or any of that. We can just give freely because God gives freely to us. We can't be scared to give. We can't be stingy. We just got to give just like God gave to us. And boy, oh boy, what a blessing. It's blessings and all that. Yeah. I like that. Is that Philippians? Yeah. That is a good book. No, what were we in? Ephesians. Ephesians, right. Yeah. Ephesians, yeah. I like that book of Ephesians. I love God has favor, or we have favor, and it all our blessings come from God. Yes, they do.
Yes, indeed.
I'm happy about that. Very, very, very good lesson. Thank you so much. And have the best day ever. We appreciate you.
You do the same.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Yes, sir. We are all hooked up all the way around for eternity. You can't lose with that. That's a winner. All right. We are going to have a song, and we're going right into our service. And see you on the other side.
Father, I give your name praise and glory and honor. I bless you for being my everything. I thank you right now, God, for being my provision, my leader, my guide, my comforter, my friend, my companion. And today I owe you my praise. I owe you my worship. Hallelujah. I bless you, God, for being the greatest God in the whole world. I will sing to you in this holy place. I will tell you even in the marketplace. I will pray to you in my secret place. Everything. Yeah, I stand and give you glory and praise. You are my everything. Hallelujah. Come on, stand and take 3 seconds to begin to worship God right now. I don't care where you're standing. I want you to lift up your holy hands and begin to offer a worship, a praise, of appreciation to the Lord for being your everything. For all mankind, I will continually praise your holy name for the rest of my life. I can stand and testify that none compares to you, for you are El Shaddai. Oh yeah, you are my everything. Father, I give you the praise and the glory and the honor, for you are my everything. Hallelujah. Father, I bless your holy name this day. And God, I will let the whole world know how great you are. What an awesome provider. What an awesome comforter. What an awesome friend. What an awesome God. I just want to testify a second. You're my life. Lord, you're my strength. You're everything to me. Even when I feel like giving up, you're my joy. So divine. Yes, you are. And Lord, you're my peace that surpasses all understanding. When I don't know where I'm going to turn to. Lord, you're my hope in the time of trouble. Coming from somehow, some way you make a way. You're my life, you're my strength. Lord, you're everything to me, and I gotta testify that you are my joy. When I feel like crying, when I feel like giving up, when I feel like throwing in the towel, you're my peace. Who ever thought he was gonna take my mind for the trial of this life? You step right in on time. You became my hope in the time of trouble. When the gas prices went high, you still made a way. You are my life. You're my strength. Yeah, 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 yeah. You're
All right, yes, Lord, you are my everything, Lord. Hey, broadcasting from sunny South Carolina, Myrtle Beach, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to Runner for Christ Ministries Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. And we have this morning to help us do so, partner in crime, our very own sister, Keela Freeman. Good morning.
Good morning, Blog Talk listeners all around the world. This is the day that the Lord has made, so let us rejoice and be glad. This morning's scripture will be coming from Colossians 3, 1:15, and it is titled, Living the New Life. Here reads the word of the Lord. Since you have been raised to a new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of the earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful, earthly things lurking within you, having nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now it is time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And above all, close yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart. For as members of one body, you're called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once again offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted to you by your people in this service. Lord, we ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in songs, prayers, and preach words so that all those who are lost will be found. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, And it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask all these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Freeman. Have a blessed day. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, thanks. Okay. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord and we have prayed, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
favor, unmerited favor. I know I don't deserve it, but I can't go a day.
Imagine, you know, ever since the day I met him, I was listening to Pastor Jonathan Tate teaching, amen, how awesome is it that God thought about us before we even knew us, before we were a us, before our parents knew us, amen, the Lord knew about us, and he predestined, or he elected, whatever the case, he thought about us and prepared for us because he knew all about us. He knew just what we were like, and he knew we would need a Savior. So before we got here, a Savior was already here. And everything about our life, the Lord concocted all of that so it might lead us to him. You'll find that over there in Acts chapter 17 when Paul was preaching to the Athenians. Go read it. The Lord did this that we might reach out for him and perhaps find him, even though he's always been right near us. When I sat down the street from where I live right now and looked up into the sky and asked God to show himself to me, he was right there with me. There was nothing to see. There was somebody to know. I want to tell you something, y'all. Ain't nobody like him.
We give you glory. We give you all.
Nobody like you, Lord. Nobody like you, Lord.
think about how good Jesus is to us, amen. And you know what he has given us? He has given us the most powerful weapon in the world. You go read John chapter 14. Jesus said, you ask the Father anything in my name, he'll give it to you. Then Jesus said, if you ask me anything in my name, I'll give it to you. Do you know what Jesus said? If you believe in your heart and don't doubt, you can say to a mountain, tell me how much power it takes to move a mountain. We would need a bunch of bulldozers. We would need a bunch of earth movers. We would need some explosives to try to level it down. But Jesus just told us that we can say in his name and move into the sea. And guess what? If you believe and don't doubt, amen, what you said will happen. That's a powerful name, y'all.
Pressure must be in Jesus' name.
right. In Jesus' name, all things are possible. Once again, Pastor, you took us there. We just thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged, which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own brother, Associate Pastor Terrence Tate, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Associate Pastor Terrence Tate. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
When you pray,
God, our Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to come to you at this sacred time to tell, not only to tell you what we need, Father, but to give you the praise and the honor and the glory and to pray your will back to you, Father. Father, we thank you for providing us with another opportunity to breathe another breath on this earth, Father. We couldn't have done it without you, Father. You are the prayer answering God. You're the one who gave us breath. You're the one who gave us life to live on this earth, Father. So we thank you and we praise you for what you are doing in the earth. Father, in your word, in Psalm chapter 34, verse 1, you said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continue be in my mouth. Father, we ask that you help us let our praise, let the praises of you continually be in our mouth, no matter what we go through. Help us keep a heart of praise and thanksgiving on our lips for you, Lord, because you're worthy of it all. Father, you said in your word in John chapter 16, verse 33, you said, in this life we are going to have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. Father, we can't have good cheer if we don't keep our eyes focused on you when we're in the middle of a trial, Father. So we ask that you help us as a collective body of Christ be thankful for the trial that we're facing right now. Father, you said in your word in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. Father, you can't do that if we as a collective body don't begin to humble ourselves and bring our hearts to you, Father. Bring our requests to you, Father. Father, you said in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, you said, my prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make our request known to you. Father, you can't answer prayer if you don't know what you can't answer prayer if we don't tell you what we need. Father, you don't answer complaints. You answer prayers of faith, Father. Father, you said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, that faith is the subject of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Father, we need to ask that you
fill our hearts up with the wisdom of your word, with the knowledge of your word, so that we can understand what you want us to do in this world. Father, you said in James chapter 1 verse 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Father, we're so busy being hearers of the word that we are not being doers of your word. When you said in your word that, when you said in your word in Luke chapter 6 verse 46, you said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do anything I say? Father, the church of this day wants your will to be done in the earth. But your will can't be done in the earth if we don't do what you call us to do. Father, we are so concerned about going into a church building that we are not concerned enough about being the church that you call us to be. Father, we ask that you line our will up with yours. We ask that you take our hearts and mold it. Take our minds and transform it. Take our wills and conform them to yours, because we are your chosen people in this hour, in this day. We ask that you be the center of our life. We ask that you be the center of our hearts. We ask that you take control of our lives today, so that your will and your work will be done in the earth the way you want your will and your work to be done in the earth. Father, we pray for the preacher who is bringing the word. Bless him to bring the word in a way that we, the church, can understand your word, so that we can live your word out in this earth. Father, thank you for the opportunity to talk to you today. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for answering our prayers. And it's in the name of Jesus that I pray this prayer right now. Amen.
Amen.
Man. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Terrence, for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you. Have a great day. All right. I am truly having a great time this morning here in the sun in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And I'd like to thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, joy, and the blessing. Amen? Okay, time for the preach word, a message from God. Icing on the cake. That's the best part. The next voice you will have the pleasure of hearing after this next election, back in the saddle and progressing well, is our very own brother, Minister John McFaul. Prepare to receive Minister John McFaul come in his own way with the word from the Lord. Amen.
The day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, Blog Talk family. Good morning to you. I am glad to come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. Let me start by saying good morning to Pastor O and First Lady Sheila and the Blog Talk family and all that's a part of our ministry here. I'm coming to you this morning just with an open heart and just to thank God, people, young and old, starving to lift the word in prayer before our Lord and Savior. Father God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for waking us up. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of this day, Father. We ask on this day that you use your word to speak to our hearts, Father, that we will be not only hearers of the word, but doers. I say thank you for that altar call by Terrence Tate, that he opened his heart, his concern, and love for the body of Christ. Father, I thank you for him. And I thank you for all that makes us say what it is, Father. So we lift up your word. We ask that you speak to our hearts, Father. And we thank you for again for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll be coming to you this morning, Proverbs, from Proverbs 13:24. It reads as follows. He who fears to rot hates his son, and he who loves him is careful to discipline him. That verse is so simple, it just throws you back. You know, we're all guilty, whether we have disciplined our kids or have not disciplined our kids. But the Bible speaks clear about if you do not discipline your kids, you do not love. And that's a hard pill for most of us to swallow because we like to think, whether we spare the rod or not, we still love our kids. But the Word of God says otherwise. If you don't discipline your kids, you don't love them. We need to understand sparing the rod, that the rod is needed, or God would have put it in his more fast understanding. There are consequences to sparing the rod. You grow up with, you know, just undisciplined kids. You know, those types of kids are the worst. They have no respect for just anyone because they've never been disciplined to know better. You know, you set them up to, you know, if they don't listen to their parents, it's going to be hard for them to listen to anyone, whether it's a teacher, coach, pastor, or any adult. All because we refuse to spare the rod. The rod is good. They didn't spare the rod on us when we were kids. We got the mess beat out of us. But yet, it kept us out of jail from doing wrong. It's the reason why we say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am to this day. Because it was demanded by our parents to do just that. Have you ever seen a kid that's never been disciplined? You say something to them, they will curse you out on the spot. And they're young kids. They're not old kids. They're young kids. And you can tell right away that they've never been disciplined. You can't give your kids everything and expect them to be disciplined. And I think if I just give, somehow they'll grow up and be great kids. Look around you. That's not always the case. The more you give them without rules, right, the more disrespectful and rude they become. So parents need to understand, or any adult need to understand, when you're dealing with your own kids, you have to discipline them. Our world consists of rules. Those individuals that break the rules need to understand there's a place that's set up for them called jail, called group homes. All right, because those places are designed to force you to follow rules. as soon as you pick your kid, the rules are made to be followed and not made to be broken. Their life would be much better, designed to teach you when to eat, when to sleep, when to use the bathroom, and anything. That's the deal. They're locked up, undisciplined kids. They don't. Have you ever dealt with a parent and you know they haven't had discipline in their life? They're worse than the kids. Their parents thought by them giving them, getting the rod, that somehow they'd come out and be great people. That's not always the case. I know some adults that are trouble. All because they've never been disciplined. They haven't been taught right from wrong. You know, and they haven't been taught how to respect their parents. They do respect your mom and your dad. And then that's just a good one to do whatever you want to do. You set next to that. Because everybody's not going to treat your kid like you treat them. No, there's some people, your son is one of them that you move to, they may knock the mess out of them, right? They're not scared of rod. It's not their kid, but they know what that rod means. Rod means discipline. That's what it means. Think about it. Think about any of your friends that you know who have never been disciplined. They are the rottenest, rudest, most disrespectful parents on earth. They only wonder why their kids are rude and disrespectful. Because they have to get from somewhere. They see it, they imitate it, and then they throw them out to the world. And the world got to deal with these undisciplined kids. One thing that just wants to do is a lot of the shootings and killings are done by young people. They had a case here in Michigan this week where three teenagers, I think it's 15, 16, and 17, sold up to $500,000 and they got caught. What they even you don't think about doing something like that. It makes you wonder who they're listening to, how their household is being ran. You know, if you don't have Christ in your home, who's in there? Satan. He's going to urge you and to convince you to do everything against you to make you think that you can go out and do all these things and get away with it, and when you get caught, that's when he leaves you. God said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Satan's going to make you think you can get away with it and get caught, and I'm going to laugh at you. After this thing, kids need to know the ways of God, just like adults need to know the ways of God. And it starts at a very young age. I know this getting got out of order. And I every now and then I step up and don't discipline them. But then they do it again, and I have to discipline them when I should have did it the first time. My kids know right from wrong because they were taught right from wrong. Now, if they go out and do wrong when they were taught right, then they're going to suffer the consequences of that behavior. So what I said, it's always difficult dealing with your kids because you love them. You do not discipline them. You don't love them. How could keep statement coming from the Lord? He wants us to discipline our kids. So you cannot have a kid on this earth and don't discipline them. Then tell them you love them. I love my kids. These are my kids. You know, the Bible says, you know, if you don't discipline them, you don't love them. And if you don't love them and they don't feel that love, what are they going to do? They're going to take that love from somebody else. Nine times out of ten, it's going to be somebody just like them. Exactly like them. We have an obligation to discipline our kids. The Lord tells us Remember, the Word of God says if you do not discipline your kids, you don't love them. That's deep. The Lord put that in the Word, knowing that the world has something set up to discipline your kids, to make your kids follow the rules, even make you follow the rules. When you settle with discipline, it's the practice of training your kids to obey rules, using punishment to correct disobedience. That was in the, I got that definition out of the dictionary. This is the practice of training to obey rules. Teach your kids to follow rules. Using punishment to correct disobedience. So there you go again. Even in the secular world, they acknowledge the fact that you must use some form of punishment to correct disobedience. What is one of the pros of crime? The discipline. The pros is you give your kids structure and they learn to be obedient. The crime of discipline is very simple. You have an unruly, disrespectful kid on your hands. Ephesians 6:1. It says, children, obey your parents and the Lord. So the Lord commands us to obey our parents. They don't tell us to talk back to them. Tell us to obey. Hebrews 12:5 states, the Lord disciplines those who love. So that word discipline is right back to teaching your kids how to follow rules, to train them in obedience of rules, to let them know there's rules everywhere. You speak, you get a ticket. You skip school, you get kicked out. You don't do what your parents say, you get disciplined. It's all over everywhere you go. The Word of God is clear about that. Even though this message is short, it's clear. Remember what the Lord said, if you do not love your kids, if you do not discipline them, if you do not teach them the ways of the Lord, if you do not teach them to follow rules, what do you think will happen to them? Remember, their system set up to teach unruly kids, disrespectful kids, kids that don't follow rules, kids that have never been disciplined. Their system set up. Set up. Let me read a verse of Proverbs 24 to you again. He who spares to bride hates his son, but he who loves her, if you love your kids, the word of the Lord says, discipline them. Discipline them. The word of the Lord states that kids love, honor your parents in the Lord. So this is good, not bad, because the Lord required this of his people. It's a good thing to be obedient to the word of the Lord. So, Father, I want to take time to pray for our parents and our kids. Say, I love my kids and don't discipline them. Listen to the words of the Lord. It's really clear on that. If you do not discipline them, you do not love your kids. Think about that. Think about all the parents who go around saying, I love my kids, I love my kids, I love my kids, but their kids are just out of order. It's rude and disrespectful. The Lord don't require that of kids. The Lord said, if you do not discipline them, you don't love them. And if you love them, you're going to be careful to discipline them. Discipline is a word. But you must apply God principles early on. The rod is strictly there for a reason. Right? To discipline kids. to discipline parents. God wouldn't say, for the child to stay to rod. No, that rod is meant to be there for a reason. You know, that government's up for a reason, to keep order among the people. So if you do something wrong and the government comes down hard, remember, that's their job. That's why that rod is in the end, to discipline those who break the laws of the land. So just remember that. I love my kids, but they respect me. They want to respect me. But I do discipline them. I don't love them that much that I won't put my hands on them. I'm not going to kill them. My parents didn't kill me, and I'm still here. But they need to learn a lesson. And it's our job as parents to teach them these lessons. Because if we don't, somebody else will. Then we get mad in a frenzy. You know, you don't endorse bad behavior, nor should you support it in any form or fashion. Because you're not teaching your kids. If you teach your kids, you don't have to follow rules. Because you don't follow rules, they're going to have to bear the consequence of you not having them follow the rules. The rules are a good, they're a good thing. They're established to have boundaries. Boundaries are important because kids need to know that they can't cross certain lines. You know, when my son or my daughter crossed that line, it's my job to push them to the other side of that line. To let them know, no, that land is set up for a reason. If it's set up, you cannot come across it. Don't come across it. Because if you do, it's my job to push you back and let you know why I'm pushing you back and let you understand the benefit of me pushing you back. That's what's important to me, is making sure the boundaries are clearly drawn and that kids understand what they can and cannot do. You know, you have kids in their home. Parents are Christians. Kids don't go to church. They sleep there. The boundaries haven't been set. You set the boundaries early on. In my house, on Sunday, you go into the house of worship, whether you like it or not. Those are the boundaries that's established in this house. You cannot not follow the rules and get what you want. There has to be some form of punishment, and the kids must understand that. But nowadays, most parents are afraid. Kids threaten, I'm going to call the police. I'm going to do this and that. And most parents are running scared. But when your kids get older and hurt somebody, the first thing the law going to do is blame it on you. Well, if you would have disciplined this kid early on, we wouldn't have this problem. But since you did, now this person went out in the world and hurt someone. You refused at a young age to discipline them. I remember right here in Detroit off the Lodge Freeway, this one girl, she had like 7 tickets for drunk driving. Every time she went to court, they got her off. And to a point last year, on her 8th ticket, her 8th time drunk driving, somebody died. She killed someone. Now, if they would have gave her the ticket the very first time and let her spend 30 days in jail, she would have learned her lesson. But since her parents thought, well, give her her bail and let her out, that she won't do it again. She did it 8 times. On the 8th time, she killed someone. So tell me the logic of you having someone like that in our society. That's what people do. They don't teach them. They don't learn. They put them out here so we can deal with them. They're the ones trying to marry our sons and our daughter and bring hell to their life because they weren't taught early on the boundaries. So I want to take this time and pray for our parents. If you think you love your kids, remember what the word of the Lord says. It says you don't. I know that's a tough pill to swallow, but he wouldn't put it in his word at the wedding show. So if you claim that you love your word, your son, you know, do it. And go back and read Proverbs 13:24. Let that be a reminder to you that the Lord said he wants you to love your kids, but he also wants you to set the boundaries on who's the parent and who's the kid. Like I said, dealing with an undisciplined parent is the worst thing, like dealing with an unruly, disrespectful kid. It didn't help them. You throw them out in this world, and they cause all kind of havoc in the world. No one wants their kids to go to jail. But if they cross the boundary, the law is waiting on them because it's not their job to deal with the rudest, unruly, disrespectful among them. Well, Father God, I come before you on this day in the name of Jesus Christ, hoping that your people hear your word on this day. It's a simple word. It's a word that we all heard before, but it's not a word that we all follow. We need to understand that you set the boundaries, not me. It's in your word. I didn't write it. Caden, what you said, for those who think they love their kids and never discipline them. Think about all the parents who got all these kids in jail, locked up in group homes. Why? Because they won't talk the boundaries. Every kid needs to talk the boundaries. They talk boundaries in their own home. Because when they get out into society, society is waiting on them to break the rules. And for those who follow the rules, life is sweet. Those who listen to their parents, life is sweet. Those who can follow the rules, life is sweet. Think about that for a minute. That's a tough pill to swallow. Do you really love your kids that you don't want to discipline them? Do you want to throw them out in this world undisciplined, rude, and disrespectful? Parents, this, a lot of this is our fault for not teaching these kids. Lewis said, if you do not teach your kid, if you do not discipline your kids, you don't love them. Wow. Don't tell me you love your kids when you don't discipline them, if you let them do whatever they want to do. I just remember what the Lord says. If you don't discipline them, you don't love them. Father, I come to you looking up parents. I ask you to give them what they need to put the borders down in their own home. And if they will have kids that would be disrespectful, right, that will follow the rules of our society. And if they break them, they know there's consequences to be paid. No one wants a kid in jail, but when they go there, a lot of parents know why their kids are where they at, because they failed to do what they had to do as parents. We give too much and don't teach enough. We need to back up that and teach. 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 Not just give them what they want. Because kids are never satisfied. You can buy them a bike that's the wrong color. You can buy them a car that's not new. You can buy them clothes, still not what they want. Because that spirit and greedy. And parents feed into that, thinking if I give them, give them, give them, give them, give them, it will somehow be productive in our society. But statistical stats tell you that that's the biggest law in the world. Anything against you, gets you to go against the word of God, is the devil. The devil. He's a liar. He's always been a liar, been a liar. What do you want? He wants these young folks. He wants to stir their thinking. He wants them to have the spirit of being disrespected. Why? Because it doesn't honor God. anything that does not honor God, ain't nothing. Kids, I pray for you. Kids threaten you to call the police, so what? Let them call them. When you put them on this board and they hurt somebody, they're going to blame you anyway for not teaching them, not disciplining them on what they need to know to function in this world. Father, I lift up parents, and I lift up these young folks who will grow. But you give us spirit to follow the rules that their parents try to lay down, try to teach them, and try to set them in that. Because you require that. People understand that. We all get here in some way. And it's never too late to redefine who you are as kids. That never ends. Sometimes you have to deal with your kids until they get in the mid-20s. Some kids you got to stay a little bit closer to because you know they will have a hard time. But some kids you can let them go and they'll be all right. But parents, you know your kids. You know who they are. And you know why you got to stay a little bit closer. So I come before you in the name of Jesus, Lord, on this day. Again, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of your word. Let us be followers of your word, Father, not just hearers of your word. Again, I thank you for this opportunity to come before your people. Father, may your words pierce my heart, Father. Let them know, let me connect to really find who you are as parents. As long as you have kids who are parents, sometimes parents can take a while. All right, thank you for this day, Mr. Christ. Have a blessed day. Jesus Christ.
Amen. You know, my favorite passage out of the Bible about those kids is all of them, but Deuteronomy chapter 6 is, you know, how the Lord talks about being so intentional about training them up in the way they should go. And, you know, in the Old Testament, if a child misbehaved and was brought before Moses and the elders to decide that situation, if the child was real disobedient, they would put that child to death. Well, today we don't practice that because we're not under the law. But what we need to do is exactly what you talked about, is start young. And don't think because you were disciplined by your parents, you shouldn't discipline your children. All you're doing is setting them up for failure when you do that. Because like my mother used to tell me, if we don't get you here, they're going to get you in the street. Them police out there ain't going to care about you like we care about you. Those other grown-ups out there in the street ain't going to care about you like we care about you. So the stuff you're doing in here, I want you to stop that here before you get out there and get beat up or arrested. Amen. And that's what happens. Thank you, Brother Pastor. And hold on. We're going to bring you back for some more closing words and some prayer so we can get out of here. Amen. Praise God. Well, I am sitting in the seat of Crystal this morning. Amen, because she has some business to take care of, and she said, Pastor, you're going to have to do the announcements. So here I am doing announcements this morning. No, I'm not Crystal, so amen. All that stuff, Crystal, say do all that. Amen. Okay, Sunday, September 25th, we will have our in-person service at the church located at 27085 West Otter Drive, Ecorse, Michigan, 48229. Now, if you're somewhere on Otter Drive in Detroit, you ain't in Ecorse. You need to, amen, reposition your phone, your GPS, and put Ecorse. Then you get to Ecorse, 27085 West Otter Drive, Ecorse, Michigan, right on the corners of 10th and 11th Street. If you miss it, we'll pray for you. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So the praise team will be leading us in our worship service as always, and our assistant Pastor Tate, amen, Pastor Janice Tate, will be bringing us the word on tomorrow. We'll welcome you to join us, but we ask that you wear a mask. And if you don't have one or you forgot it and left it in the car, guess what? We have one right there on the back table for you, and it's free. Amen. And you can still tune into our Blog Talk Radio service and listen to the service live over your phone at 10 a.m. Amen. Amen. And you can listen by your PC. If you get on your computer or you get on the computer on your phone, your internet on your phone, just go to our church website, RFCM, and click on Worship Service, and the link is right there. Click that link. It'll take you straight to the service, and you will be connected. That's at 10 a.m. on Sunday. Amen. Every Sunday at 4 p.m., our very own Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, jealous. I'm real jealous this morning. She's down there in sunny South Carolina, sitting out there on the beach doing the show. I look out my window, it's kind of Sunday, gray sun, and it's raining. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless her, though. Amen. Her ministry is Bring Back the Family. Her show is Bring Back the Family. Amen. She has a guest speaking on various subjects and about the children, and you can call in to voice your opinion and interact with her. Tune in. Go to rfcm.org. Christian resource page, and all you have to do is click on Bring Back the Family. It will take you to everything Bring Back the Family, and all the information you need, amen, will be right there. She has her own website, amen, Bring B Back B the T Family, B, amen, BBTFUS the Family, BBTFUS.com. Amen. Amen. But if you didn't get that, go to our church website. It's all right there. Just click on Christian Resources. Look at Christian Resources. We also have Carlos and Yvonne Young. Y'all, some of y'all might know them. They have two ministries going on. One is a threefold strand. That's about marriage and family. And then the other is Young Wealth Black Academy, Black Man Academy, Young, Wealthy, and Black Academy. Don't worry about it. It's all there on the website. The link to both their YouTube channels are right there on that Christian resource page. Hey, man, you can also see over there on that page Bondage Breakers Ministries. They're funding the education of a little young lady over in Kenya, and they need your help. Hey, man, so click on Christian Resources. Click on Bondage Breaker Ministries. Amen. And give some help. Help somebody to make it through school. For over here, you know, we have it. Over there, they don't. They need help. Let's help. Okay. Amen. Tithes and offerings. So if you'd like to give your tithes and offerings, again, go to our church website and click on tithes and offerings. And you can do all of that right there. If you'd like to bless the preacher, Pastor John McFall, on that same page, tithes and offerings, there's a place for you to do that. Just click offerings and then designate, this is for Pastor John McFall. Amen. Amen. God bless you. And we'll make sure, finance will make sure that he receives that as well. Amen. Amen. Every Monday at 6 p.m., we will have our class entitled Get a Grip. This class is taught by our own Deaconess June Rogers right here on Blog Talk Radio every Monday at 6 p.m. Okay, I don't know how many weeks this class is going to last, but it's a Monday class, so it's going to be so many weeks, then it gets over with. You don't want to miss a week. You want to tune in every single Monday at 6 o'clock. We're talking about the church and mental health and how we can get a grip and how not to lose it. Amen, when times get tough. So tune in Monday. Deaconess Dr. June Rogers will be back this Monday. I had to sit in for her on last Monday, and we had a wonderful time. And we're looking forward to an even more wonderful time when she comes back this Monday, and she will be talking about death of a loved one. Amen. If you're dealing with that, know somebody dealing with that, need information to help somebody deal with that, we'll see you Monday at 6 o'clock, because you're going to get that. Amen? Okay, every Wednesday, you know, we have our Bible reading class here on Blog Talk Radio. This week, we'll be in the book of Job, continuing in the book of Job, chapters 23 through 29, taught by Deaconess Nicole C. Brooks. Amen. So tune in. Now, Job is a perfect character if you want to talk about mental health and how to survive bad times. I mean, he's a good example. Amen. So you need to read that. Okay. Now, all of the questions have been sent out. Well, Bible class questions, they'll be coming out for the Wednesday night class. Also sent out the reading assignments for the Monday night class. They have a reading assignments and some questions. Read the assignment, do the questions, have the discussion, learn something to help you, help somebody else. That's what this is all about. Jesus is going to help you first. Then he's going to help somebody else. He says that same thing over in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He says, having all that you need, amen, then you will be able to, I mean, chapter 9, be a blessing to somebody else. Having all that you need, you'll be a blessing to somebody else. So, amen, do your work assignment so that you can be an active part of the class. Amen, you can know what everybody's talking about. Continue to pray for all the sick and the bereaved families everywhere. Pray for our leaders, parents, teachers, medical staff, scientists. Amen. Especially as we approach our booster. Amen. Once I get my booster, amen, I'm going to have a new name. I'm going to still be Pastor O because I like that. It's easy to say. But I'm going to become Boosted O. Can you imagine that? Pastor O, Boosted O. Yes, indeed. I can't get it, though, too. To around end of November or December. So you can call me Pastor O until then, but after that, I'm going to be boosted, O. I'm going to be boosted. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Those are your announcements. If I missed or left out, happy birthday. Everybody who had a birthday in September, happy birthday to you. There's somebody celebrating on the 24th and somebody celebrating on the 22nd, 21st, and the 22nd. Bless y'all. In the name of Jesus, you're blessed. Amen. That'll be $19.99 for that blessing. Just go to my website and send it right in. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. Amen. God bless. I believe I'm through with announcement. Did them just like Crystal, too. So let me bring this preacher back in here. Amen. Didn't I sound just like Crystal, Pastor McFall?
Yes, you did.
Amen, Crystal, like, really? But anyway, thank you for that word. You know, like you said in your sermon, we don't like hearing that kind of stuff. Why? Because most of us are guilty. And we got this saying among us that I want my kids' lives to be better than mine was. Well, the problem with that is it kind of made us awesome with the life we had. But if we make their lives so easy, then they'll just grow up and think everything's like that. And then they'll grow up, feel like they deserve that and don't have to work for that. And, amen, and that's when the problems start. That's when the problems start, when they start becoming turn 15, now they running the house. And you running around scared, sitting on Maury Provis talking about they won't listen to you. Lord have mercy on us. Amen. And, again, I loved it when you said that we know this word, we've heard this word, we've heard it over and over and over, but you know James 1:25 say, look into the word of God that brings freedom and continue in it. And then he says, and don't forget what you heard and then do it, then you'll be blessed in what you do. And if what you're doing is training up children for Jesus, you can't do that without his word. Amen. Thank you, preacher. I'm sorry about that. I preached a little bit, but that's your fault because you preached a lot. So I just did a little
no
bit.
No problem. No problem. Pastor,
okay, give us some closing words. Yeah.
Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of your word, Father. And we just thank you for allowing us to be alive. Again, let us be. We can hear your word, but let us be doers of your word, Father, that we will love our kids, that we will discipline our kids, Father, so they may grow up in this world and follow the boundaries that's been set up, Father. We don't want to be those who hate our kids because you told us if we didn't discipline them, that's who we are. Now it's a tough pill to swallow, and it reaffirms the fact that I need to constantly teach my kids things of this world, Father, in your word, let them know that I'm a God-fearing man who loves the Lord. And it's not about me. It's about him, you know. So I just like to pray for the parents and pray for the kids, Father, that they would do what you asked us to do for you. Father, I thank you for Pastor O. I thank you for the platform of Blog Talk Radio. I thank you for Running for Christ Ministries, Father. One thing you will learn by attending Running for Christ, you will learn, right? You will learn the Word of God, and you will learn how to apply that Word. And they're coming up with more ministries to reach out to more people in need. That is required, Father, and I just thank you. I thank you. I pray for Crystal that she's away doing something, that you will cover her and her family, Father. I pray for those who heard this message today, that they would take heed to your word, Father, and love your kids, but teach your kids. Set up the boundaries that God has established for us all to follow, Father God. Again, I just thank you for this day. Protect your people, cover them, keep our harm from them as they go throughout this day. Give your people your traveling mercies, Father, that you will keep our harm from them as they go about this world. Father, let us be reminded of what Jesus did on that cross, that he died for me and you, Father. He took us straight to the cross because he knew what was required of him. He followed through to the very end. So, Father, I thank you as I sit here and just ponder on just the days of what's taking place. It requires me to draw closer and nearer to you, Father. The world is becoming more wicked. So, Father, we need more righteousness in our heart, Father, to know the difference between good and bad, good and evil. Father, again, thank you for Pastor O and First Lady Sheila. Thank you for the ministry of Running for Christ, again, as they continue to reach out to the lost, reach out to those in need, Father. And I thank you for all the presiding person on this day. I thank you for Crystal. I thank you for Kathy. I thank you for Terrence Tate. Father, all that's a part of the ministry. Go forth in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Preacher. Stay blessed.
You too.
All right. Amen. That is a word that we don't want to forget. If you're already doing that, then God gave that to you to share it with somebody who's not. Amen. Let them know that the Lord is trusting them to train up their children in the way that they should go. So when they go to school, they're not like the other kids. They show the other kids how they should be. Okay? When they grow, get a little older and start going out to work on those first jobs, they will work like folks who work for Jesus and not folks who, amen, who just work when people are looking at them. Amen? So help them and guide them through their whole life. The Lord Jesus is trusting you. Yeah, look at yourself and say, Jesus is trusting me to raise these kids for him. Amen. Now, when you get through raising those kids, you want to hear Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over that little job I gave you to raise those couple of those few, those many kids. Amen. You've done that. Now, come, enter into your master's joy. You've been faithful over those few things. I'm going to make you master over many things. Amen. See, when you're faithful over a few things, those things belong to somebody else. But when you become the master, those things belong to you. Jesus calls that true wealth. Jesus calls that eternal wealth. And he says, if you're not faithful, who will give that to you? Amen. And you want to get all that you can get. Amen. So I want to thank God for Pastor Jonathan Tate, brought us that awesome start to the book of Ephesians. I want to thank God for Sister Keela Freeman. Amen. Gave us the opening scripture and prayer. I want to thank God for Pastor Terrence Tate. Gave us that altar call. And, of course, the preacher hour, Pastor John McFall, reminding us Jesus is trusting us to raise his kids. He ain't yours. They're his. He loaned them to you to bring them up for him. Amen. You going to do that? I know you will. So God bless you, God keep you. And now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to our God and Father, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. I want to thank Baby Holy Ghost for getting me hooked up on them announcements and everything else. God bless you. God keep you. See you when we see you. That should be tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Amen. Now, this song that I'm going to close with, y'all know I like to close with something special. It's by a guy who says his name is Jordan Armstrong. Don't say Jordan. It's Jordan Armstrong. Amen. And he made this song. I kind of like it. It's about my God. And evidently, his God has been awesome to him, as our God is, well, we all have the same God. And he's awesome. Amen. But check this out. Wait a minute. Let me brag on my God.
Yeah. Wait a second, let me brag on my God. Hear the truth, yeah, he be showing off. Yeah, I promise he never took a loss. If I'ma tell it, I gotta tell it all. Wait a second, let me brag on my God. Hear the truth, I ain't just telling y'all. You can count it, he never took a loss. And if I'ma tell it, I gotta tell it. Second, let me brag on my, I love my God, he keeps them bands on me. You may say I'm trippin', I'm your fan only. I love the time that we be spending low-key. And I know they rockin' with me with his hands on me. Oh, this is all I know. I know you're riding with me when the times get low. So I be on a mission till your plan I go. And I can tell you vibe with me. Oh, you protect me from every weapon. And every lesson, there's a blessing. And there's a reason why I'm reppin'. Wait a second, wait a second, let me brag on my God. Hear the truth, yeah, he be showing off. Yeah, I promise he never took a loss. If I'ma tell it, I gotta tell it all. Wait a second, let me brag on my God. Hear the truth, I ain't just telling y'all. You can count it, he never took a loss. And if I'ma tell it, I gotta tell it all. Hold on, wait a second, let me brag on my. Every time I think about your love, love, love. Finally got somebody I could trust, trust, trust. Why you keeping me? I really just don't know. As you can see, we got it going up, oh, yeah, because of you. And when I got you beside me, I can't lose. And all that hating, they talking, it ain't true. And I'ma tell the world, cause the God knows. You protect me from every weapon. And every lesson, there's a blessing. And there's a reason why I'm rapping. Hold on, wait a second, wait a second. Let me brag on my God. Truth, yeah, he be showing off. Showing off. Yeah, I promise he never took a loss. If I'ma tell it, I gotta tell it all. Wait a second, let me brag on my God. Hear the truth, I ain't just telling y'all. You can count it, he never took a loss. And if I'ma tell it, I gotta tell it all. Hold on, wait a second, let me brag on my. Brag on my. Brag on my. Wait a second, let me brag on my God. Hear the truth, yeah, he be showing off. Yeah, I promise he never took a loss. If I'ma tell it, I gotta tell it all. Wait a second, let me brag on my God. Hear the truth, I ain't just